O my Lord, your eternal self is never divided by the influence of time, and there is no limitation to your perfect knowledge. Thus, you were sufficiently able to consult with yourself, yet you called upon me for consultation, as if bewildered. Although you are never bewildered, and this act of yours bewilders me. Uddhava was never actually bewildered, but he says that all these contradictions appear to be bewildering. The whole discussion between Krishna and Uddhava was meant for the benefit of Maitreya, who was sitting nearby. The Lord used to call Uddhava for consultation when the city was attacked by Jarasandha and others, and when he executed great sacrifices as part of his routine royal work as Lord of Dwarka. The Lord has no past, present and future, because he is unhampered by the influence of eternal time, and thus nothing is hidden from him. He is eternally self-intelligent, therefore his calling for Uddhava to give him enlightenment is certainly astonishing. All these actions of the Lord appear to be contradictory, although there is no contradiction in the routine activities of the Lord. Therefore, it is better to see them as they are and not attempt to explain them. Mantreshu mam va upahuyat yattvam akunti akhanda tadatma bodha prachhe prabho mugdha iva pramattas tanno mano mohayativa deva. Om ajnanatimirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurum vinitan vena tasmay shri gurve namaha. Namo om vishnu padaya krishna prestaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swami niti namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachasta Deshatarine. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantha Radha Kantha Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavananishwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vinda Vanchakalpa Trubhesha Kripa Sindhu Vadevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavyebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, seeking the blessings of all the devotees here, all the Vaishnavas, so that I can share something meaningful. So when I read this verse for the first time, it was the first thing which came to my mind was how certain devotees kind of imbibe a personification, you know, they imbibe a quality. We have so many examples of this. This whole class is actually filled of devotees like that. So this discussion started with, normally on Sundays I come to the temple, and these days I've been not very frequent, but when I come, I'll always see a devotee Prabhu. His name is Shyam Gudiwada. And the kind of exchange which goes between us is quite interesting. So I'll leave the temple around maybe 12:30-ish, and I'll see him just dashing through the temple corridor, because he has to sing the aarti at 12:30. And we are like just like a millisecond, and it's like, Hare Krishna Prabhu, how are you? And just that fraction of a second, we just like exchange our greetings, and he passes through. And I always say to him, Prabhu, like, you are the personification of, you can say, service on a Sunday. So you can see him, he is here from 12:30, I think he's here till evening. He is here for the whole kirtan, the aarti, he's serving prasad, Similarly, we have Godrona Prabhu, such amazing Vaishnava devotee. You'll always see him somewhere in the Haveli or somewhere on the corridor speaking to some guest, making them laugh, making them feel comfortable. And here also, you have Ananta Prabhu, you have Paramakaruna Prabhuji, so many devotees who imbibe like a certain, you can say, service attitude. And when you see them, it just reminds of that service to the Supreme, you know. So this conversation is also happening between those such two devotees. One is Uddhava and the other one is Vidura. And it's interesting because both these devotees also are personification of a certain quality, both materially and spiritually. Vidura, as you know, he was the prime minister in the Kuru dynasty. And at the same time, one of the Bhagavatam verses speaks about how he is the pious results of the Kuru dynasty. So when he was disrespected and when he was asked to leave, the Bhagavatam verse says that with Vidura leaving, all the pious results also left. Similarly, Uddhava is also a personification. And it's quite interesting that even Uddhava was the prime minister. You can say not officially the prime minister, but the main, you can say, mantri. In Sanskrit, the word mantri comes from the word mantrana. Mantrana is consultation. So a king will have multiple, you can say, ministers whom he will consult before taking any big steps. So Uddhava was also, you can say, a prime minister in the court of Lord Shri Krishna. And he at the same time spiritually personifies the knowledge which the Lord had given. So we'll see later on, as we can say, the pastimes of the Lord. The start of the third canto kind of reveals how when the Lord was, you can say, finishing up his earthly pastimes and going back to his spiritual abode, how he chose only Uddhava, because all the other descendants of the Yadu dynasty were actually, you can say, they were finished or they were gone. He only imbibed Uddhava so that he can share the knowledge which the Lord has given to Uddhava and share it to all the devotees who are still in the material world or still in the Bharatvarsha. So it's so interesting that a conversation is happening between two prime ministers. At the same time, both of them are representatives of the Guru dynasty and one is a representative of the Yadu dynasty. And this beautiful conversation happens. But I thought before we kind of go and understand what this verse is speaking about, it's very, very important to understand the context, like how this verse came about and how it kind of like all starts. So the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam starts with the Hastinapur assembly hall. So as you know, Vidura was the youngest brother of Dhritarashtra, and he was a very capable minister. He was very learned. He was a very great devotee. And he used to give consultations or, you can say, mantrana to Dhritarashtra. And as a you can say, genuine well-wisher, he goes to Dhritarashtra, he says, "Brother, I'm here to tell you that you need to give back the kingdom of Yudhishthira back to him. Lord Krishna is with them." And in front of Duryodhana, because Duryodhana was actually in the court, just standing before him, and he says, "This Duryodhana you're maintaining, he's offense personified." Just imagine, we say feedback is the breakfast for champions. So he had the courage to, even in front of Duryodhana, he's saying that, "This Duryodhana you're maintaining, your son, he's offense personified. And if you don't take steps, the required steps, then it will result in the destruction of the Kuru dynasty." So because he was a sincere, genuine well-wisher for Dhritarashtra, so he wanted the best for him. So with honest heart, he said, "Look, this is what is going to happen. As a king, as a rightful king, as a dharmic king, you have to return the rightful share back to Yudhishthira. But Dhritarashtra was blinded, and that time it kind of like angers Duryodhana and gets really angry. He says, who asked this guy to come here and speak against us? You know, he is eating our grain, but he's like giving, he's a spy, he's giving information to the other kingdom, this, that, like, gets like really angry, shouts, throws some like papers around, and you know, all this kind of stuff. And then he says, leave him, get him out of Hastinapur, just leave him with his breath. That means that because he was a prime minister, so he had his attire, he had this royal, you can say, the sword, an emblem that he belongs to the royal dynasty. So Vidura actually leaves all of that aside, and he just moves out, you know, he just walks out. And it's very astonishing to find that on one day he's the prime minister, and when he asks, like, you have to get, like, throw this guy out of this kingdom, he's in complete vairagya. He has no effect. He has no, I can say, confusion or you know, sadness about, like, okay, I have to leave. There was no kind of attachment. I think the only issue he had, Vidura had, was because the Lord used to visit sometimes the Hastinapur palace. So now, since he's not the prime minister, he won't be able to see the darshan, or he won't be able to see the Lord face to face and speak to him. We have the famous example when the Lord actually left Duryodhana's massive feast and came to Vidura to have, you know, to have food. So the Lord used to always come and visit Vidura. So Vidura's only, you can say, dilemma was that now I'm leaving this Hastinapur palace. How will I see the Lord? So the Lord actually reveals him in his heart that, Vidura, wherever you will go, I will see you. You know, you will see me. Wherever you go, you will go, you'll always see me. And Vidura, in his back of his mind, he thinks, actually, maybe, you know, I've had really bad association. All these years I was in with the Kurus, and I could see they're performing atrocities. They kind of like throw by illegal gambling match, they actually usurped the kingdom of Yudhishthira. They threw Pritha out of the kingdom. They tried to burn them, and so many, you can say, atrocities after atrocities I have been witnessing. So maybe it's the bad association that, even when I saw all these things happening, I didn't revolt, or I didn't actually say, he was, even though he was helping secretly, but he'd never kind of like openly challenge their steps. So Vidura thought, maybe I really had a bad association. That's why I need to do some prashchitta. Prashchitta is like when you do atonement for your sins. So because I've served a, you can say, sinful king and Duryodhana, so now I need to do some atonement. So taking this punishment as a blessing, he actually goes on a pilgrimage. And the Bhagavatam speaks about like how he's going through different dhams, and he is taking the blessings to kind of like, actually, he's a devotee, so he has no sin, but in his heart he thinks, actually, you know, I have committed a sin and I need to do prayaschitta. And it's very interesting that a prime minister, one who was a prime minister on a certain day, now he is roaming around all the different dhams in a avaduta avesha. Avaduta is like, he's in a torn, like very old kind of cloth. He has dreadlocks now, and nobody, he has his beard fully grown now, and nobody could actually understand that actually he is the prime minister, because that time Hastinapur was the main kingdom, right? It was the central place of the whole Bharatvarsha. So nobody could actually even guess that actually this person, this avatuta avesha, this guy, this personality was the prime minister in the Hastinapur dynasty, you know. So he used to just, so you can just see like the amount of vairagya he has. He is asked to leave, he happily leaves everything aside, he leaves his sword, everything, he's just walking there like an avaduta. Nobody recognizes him, nobody gives any respect. He's happy, and somebody even like, you know, like when some people will respect people, but if somebody is not in a very good attire, some people even scold them or you know, say bad things about them. So he's not worried about all of these things, and he's just walking in this concealed identity, going around villages, towns, dhams, forests, rivers, mountains. He's just walking. And as he's walking through in his concealed identity, he will often pass through towns or villages. where nobody will understand that actually he's Vidura, but he will often hear people speaking. And you know, like how, I don't know if it happens here, but back in India, it's a very typical thing. Like all the tea shops are like the, you can say the current affairs office, you know. So although you can always see like some people, normally it's retired people of a certain age. They'll go to the tea shop. Somebody's like reading the newspaper and discussing like what's the current affairs, and it's very material, but it happens. So similarly, when Vidura was passing through a village or a town, he heard some people speaking. Oh, actually, the Mahabharata war had happened, and now the Kurus have been finished. Yudhishthira has actually taken over the kingdom. He's the rightful king. He's such a dharmic king. The kingdom is, you know, so prosperous, so happy. Everybody's so peaceful. And he will always get this news, you know. And he will often hear people speaking, and he'll be very happy. Like he will rejoice the news, and then he will just carry on. And you will see that how even all this news didn't affect him. Because Kurus were the same dynasty where he grew up, right? As a child, he was born in the palace of Hastinapur, and with the Kurus, he had lived his whole life. But when he heard about the Mahabharata war and how the whole Kuru dynasty had finished, that didn't affect him. Because he was, you can say, he was immersed in the bhakti of the Lord. So that didn't hurt him. But only when he heard the news of the departure of Yadus, suddenly he's unable to actually carry on his Dham Yatra anymore. When he hears the news that the Yadus have passed away, because the Yadu dynasty also has supreme personality with him, right? So the departure of Yadu means the supreme personality will also finish his earthly pastimes and actually go back to his supreme abode. So that point kind of stuck him, and he's like, oh my goodness, the Lord will actually leave us now. And that is the point where, you know, he kind of like leaves his Dham Yatra, his travels aside, and he said, I need to know what happened. I need to. And he's like very, very, you can say, saddened by this news. He's very, he just doesn't know what to do. And with this news in mind, and just to inquire about what happened, has the Lord already left? Or you know, he kind of like goes and meets Uddhava, who was in Vrindavan. And the Bhagavatam speaks about like how Uddhava is a student of Brihaspati. And it's interesting that normally, you know, in the material world, you can say the qualification of a person is that, oh, that person is actually UK returned, you know, or he's US returned, he has studied in America. But here Uddhava is heaven returned because he was a student of Brihaspati. So he has got knowledge from Brihaspati himself, and at the same time Lord has also imbibed so much knowledge to him because he was his personal minister, and he used to always accompany the Lord, and all the important decisions or all the important steps, the Lord used to consult him. So Uddhava is, you can say, the personification of all the knowledge the Supreme Lord has imbibed him. And later on we will see how the Supreme Lord even gave a task to Uddhava as he is going towards Badrikashram. So it's a very interesting conversation which happens between Uddhava and Vidura. Because in the back of his mind, Vidura's mind, he wants to inquire about the Supreme Personality. But, you know, you don't want to just start with the bad news, right? Has the Lord really left? He doesn't do that. He starts with asking about all the family members. And you will see like how he's asking about, oh, how is Aniruddha? He's such a nice son. How is Pradyumna? How is Samba? He just looks like the Lord, you know. How's Akrura? He was such a great devotee that when he went to Vrindavan, he just felt unconscious. He was just rolling on the dust of Vrindavan. How's Bhima? He was very angry, and surely has his anger been has pacified or not? How's Arjuna? How's Nakula Sahadev? So he's asking all these like different questions. He's asking, how's Pritha? She had to endure so many difficulties as a widow. And even at the end, he asks, like, how's Dhritarashtra? Has he come to senses, you know, has he understood that what kind of sins he was performing? Has he understood it? Like, he's asking all these questions. And with this, like, asking, you can say, the entire list of family members, he finally asks, how's Lord Krishna? And till that time, Uddhava, who was, you can say, the Lord had already left, and he was in Sanskrit we call the verse as Murchit. Murchit is like this unconscious state, where you have no sense of what's happening on the external outside, and he's just transcendently like immersed in you can say, you know, the separation of the Lord, and he's just in that condition. Uddhava is just in that condition, but as he's asking how's Aniruddha, he's just in that very transcendental condition, like, and he just kept silent. He's like, how's Aniruddha, how's Samba, how's Akrura, how's Bhima? And then he says, how is Lord Shri Krishna? And that's the point when Uddhava just starts, tears just pouring out of his eyes and crying. And just intense separation just comes to Uddhava's heart. And just to understand Uddhava's, you can say, devotional, depth of devotion of Uddhava. Uddhava at a young age, normally when you see children who are maybe like 5 years old or 6 years old, they're playing around, they're just so immersed in their playing, right? Even if the mother comes and, oh, it's time for breakfast, it's time to go to sleep. No, mother, I don't want to sleep, I want to play. And the mother has to actually drag them or forcefully take them to kind of like go to sleep. But Uddhava, at the young age of 5 years old, he used to actually perform bhakti. He had a deity of Lord Shri Krishna and he will perform bhakti. And the mother is like, Uddhava, it's time for your breakfast, come. He's like, no, mom. And he's like, immersed in, at the age of 5 years old, he's like immersed in the worship of the Lord's deity. So he had so much connection with the Lord that time. And the same Uddhava at the age of 5, now is at an advanced age. He has spent, the whole of his life consulting, speaking, getting instructions, directions from the Lord. So you can just imagine the depth and the maturity of the Lord, of the devotion of Uddhava. Because at the young age of 5, he was in that mood of service, and he has spent the whole life serving and consulting and speaking to the Lord and getting directions from him. And now, when Vidura comes and speaks to him, you can just imagine that the kind of separation he is going through. And he just starts tears and like, he's crying, and it's like very, very, astonished. There's no, and the first 6 verses, I think, in the Bhagavatam, he just like speaking about his inability, like how he couldn't get the mercy. And it's just interesting, like how even, but because Vidura is a great, great Vaishnava. So just imagine if Karuna Prabhu comes to me and he asks me a question and, I don't answer. So it's actually a disrespect, right? So even though Uddhava was in that separation, in that, tears, he thought, Vidura is a great Vaishnav, I must still answer him. So he still tries to control all his emotions, his tears of separation, and he kind of like comes back to his external consciousness, and he starts speaking. And it's again so interesting that, because when Vidura had asked the question, he had asked the questions about all the different family members, right? But Uddhava leaves aside all the, you can say, inquiry about different family members. He starts with Lord Shri Krishna, just starts with him. And when I was reading this verse, it's very interesting, you can say, memory came back from my own life. So, as you know, like, as a child, like, when some family members or family friends actually visit you, they give you some money, out of gratitude, out of like. So one time, I think my family friend, somebody, my father's friend was visiting me, and Shri Shri Radha Gopinanda ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Gorantai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So as a child, I think one family member was visiting us, and he had given me 100 rupees, and this is like maybe like 10-15 years ago, and 100 rupees was a big amount that time, you know. So normally, like, we were asked to kind of like deposit money, keep it nicely. But I was like, 100 rupees, and that time, you know, all this like chocolates and all this kind of things were like very, so somehow I slipped the 100 rupees in my pocket. I ran to the shop, and I think I was like 6-7 year old or something, and I never seen 100 rupees note in my life. I was normally you'll get like 1-2 rupees for something, but 100 rupees is a big amount, you know. And I go to the shop, and 100 rupees always gives you this like big buying power, this parity, like you can buy anything in the world. So I just go to the shop and ask, okay, there's like so many sweets and all this kept, you know, chocolates kept. But in that, you can say, in that eagerness, I don't know what to ask. Oh, give me this, give me that, you know, give me this chocolate and give me this polo. Like there's like lot of this polo mint, you can sweets kept. So I don't know, like, and I mean, if I would have spent it nicely, I would have bought more chocolates, but I bought one chocolate and I was like, give me that polo. And I got like polos for 50 rupees, you know, like so much, like a bag full of polo mint candy. And I just came back to house and I finished the chocolate, but how many like mint candies can you eat? So I thought I'll eat later on, and I kept it aside in the house, and my mom later on find out. So I was just remembering like how in that, you know, I don't know what to do, like what to buy and like just get everything. So it's a very similar situation here also, because even though so many questions has asked about different family members, but Uddhava just starts speaking about the Lord. And he starts with the first verse, which has direct connection with the verse we just spoke about. So the verse we spoke about, it mentions that how the Lord's knowledge is beyond time. So when Uddhava starts answering, he says, why are you asking about the family members of the Yadu dynasty? Because the son, or you can say the Supreme Personality who was a son, now has set upon this world. And when the sun has set, the darkness has spread all over. And in that darkness, the Kala Sarpa, the snake of time, has swallowed every family member. So why are you even asking about this question now? And it's just so interesting that he compared, you can say he says the sun, the Supreme Personality is like the sun, because sun's brightness is spread everywhere, right? So the Supreme Personality is spread everywhere, and just when one devotee prayer, like offers his prayers or does intense, sincere devotional practice, the Lord kind of comes and gives his darshan, or, you know, gives his blessing to the devotee. So a very important example is like just how a fire is contained within the mastic. By friction, the fire kind of like enlightens. Or ghee is within the milk. When you churn the milk, ghee comes out. Similarly, the Supreme Personality is spread everywhere. But when its devotee sincerely prays to him, he appears. And when I was thinking about this, the example of Srila Prabhupada came to my heart, you know. How you can say that in the Western world, when in the times, in the 60s and 70s, intense times, law and order, drugs, this and that, and Indian culture, oh, India is a poor country, oh, they were under the, you know, rule, foreign rule for so many years, like this and that. But how we can say the intense prayer of Srila Prabhupada actually brought Sri Krishna to every town and village, you know, to the Western world. Just I was just thinking like how the sincere, you can say, and the Lord comes when a sincere devotee tries to pray with his heart. The Lord comes and you can see him. He's here with us. So I was thinking about Srila Prabhupada, like how his sincere prayers and his devotion actually gave us so many, you know, has actually helped us to get the darshan of the Lord and his association here. So Uddhava is telling that when the sun has set, the Kala Sarpa has swallowed all the family members. So why are you even asking about them? And it's just interesting, like how he starts singing all the glories of the Lord, you know. And just as the example of the kid with the 100 rupees note, he just doesn't know. He just with his emotion. He's just like throwing different qualities and different pastimes. He's just like, he's saying, you are unborn, but you take birth from Devaki. You are a karma. You don't need to finish work or do any activity. Still you perform karma. You are Nishpriha. You don't need anything. Still you are walking towards some goal. Your kala personified. Your time personified. Still you are taking shelter of the Dwarka fort where Jarasandha attacks. You are Atmarama. You are self-satisfied. But you are still as if it from for an external person looks like you are enjoying the association of 16,108 wives. It's so much, you know, bewilderment, you know. So he's asking like different cultures, like you took birth in a prison house, you ran away because of the fear of Kamsa. Afterwards you came, you asked apology from your parents saying that we couldn't serve you. And even you can say Lord Indra actually is your servant, but you still stood in the assembly hall of Ugrasena and asked, what can I do for you? Because Ugrasena was the king of Yadu. So all this like very astonishing, confusing, you know, astonishing qualities is revealed by Uddhava. And one might think that actually, is he the Supreme Personality, you know? Because if he says, oh, he's a Supreme Personality, he's getting born, he's running away from the fear of his enemy, is he actually the Supreme Lord? And when this kind of, you can say, thought can come into somebody's heart, he speaks about the mercy of the Lord. You'll see like how he speaks about Aho Baki Stanka Lukutams, like how even Putana, who had come to kill the Lord, he gave her, you can say, the position of a mother. How Shishupal was, you know, liberated. How the different demons, just because they saw the Lord's face, they all got liberation. And how unlucky are the Yadus that they were staying with Lord Shri Krishna, but they couldn't recognize that he's the Supreme Personality himself. So you'll just see like there's no order here. He's just speaking different qualities and he says, oh, you know, it's very astonishing. He ran away. But at the same time, no, he's actually Supreme Lord because he's so, so merciful. And how unlucky are the Yadu dynasty that they couldn't understand that actually he's the Supreme Personality himself. And Uddhava also knows that at the end of this conversation, I have to reveal about the departure of the Lord. You know, and the departure of the Lord is such a, you can say, intense moment or intense news that he starts with Vrindavan Leela, Mathura Leela, and finally Dwarka Leela. And as this conversation is happening, he says, the Lord actually spoke to me. He said on the sixth day, the Dwarka fort will get submerged and all the Yadu dynasty will get finished. But you, Uddhava, must go to Badrika Ashrama, where some of my devotees are still staying. And whatever knowledge I have given to you, you must imbibe to them. So he gives Uddhava a task. And now Uddhava is thinking in his back of his heart, like, okay, the Lord has given me a direction, you know. But how can he actually leave the Lord and then just go to Badrikashrama? So what he does, he follows the Lord, because all the different Yadus actually went on the chariots, but he follows on footsteps. He finds the Lord sitting under a young banyan tree, and the Lord is kind of meditating in a young under a banyan tree, and he just sees the Lord there. And can anybody share, like, when Uddhava saw the Lord sitting under a young banyan tree, what does that signify? Can anybody guess or give any answers to this? Like, when the Supreme Personality is sitting under a young banyan tree with his back towards the tree, what does it signify? Yes, Prabhu? Wonderful, yeah. So in Bhagavad Gita, we always learn like Uddhva Moolam Adhashakam. So how this material world is actually a representation, like you can say it like a tree. So when the Supreme Personality is sitting with his back, so that means his vision or he has his back turned towards the material world. And as Prabhuji said rightly, very nice Prabhu. What's your name, Prabhu? Jesse Prabhuji. So Jesse Prabhuji rightly mentioned that how the young banyan tree represents just a portion of the whole cosmic manifestation, because the material manifestation is just a very, very tiny manifestation of the whole cosmic universe, right? The majority of this cosmic manifestation is actually the spiritual world, and in just that tiny, tiny, we can say, spiritual world, there comes a small material world. So the young banyan tree actually is a representation of this material manifestation. And when the Lord sees Uddhava, he says, I knew you won't be able to actually leave my association. And the knowledge, you were one of the Vasus who had actually performed severe tapasya to get my association. And now, I'm going to imbibe you the knowledge of Bhagavatam. The same knowledge which I had given to Lord Brahma, I'm going to imbibe it to you, because you are my very, very dear devotee. And if Uddhava wanted, he could have just kept silent and the Lord would have actually given the knowledge to him as well. But he thought, in normally whenever Bhagavatam is spoken, the pattern or how Bhagavatam is spoken, there's always anmodan. Anmodan is like, we always speak like how the Bhagavatam has changed our life or express our gratitude towards the speaker. So that's anmodan. So just before the Supreme Personality is actually starting to speak about the Bhagavatam or reveal the knowledge of Bhagavatam to Uddhava, Uddhava starts doing the anmodan, or you can say expressing his gratitude. And in that gratitude, he's actually speaking this verse, which is Mantreshu Mamva Upahuya Yatvam Akunti Akhanda Sadatma Bodha Priche Prabhu Mugda Iva Pramattas Tanno Mano Mahayitiva Deva. So he's speaking like how the Lord, your eternal self, is never, never divided by the influence of time. And there is no limitation to your perfect knowledge. It says that the Lord's qualities are so many qualities. There are so many qualities to the Lord that Sankarsana with his thousand of hoods, because Sankarsana has thousands of hoods, and the whole manifestation of this universe sits at, say, small seed on the head of Sankarsana, with all his thousand hoods, he is offering prayers to the Lord, but still, he is unable to finish because the Lord has so many qualities. So, the verse is speaking like, your eternal self is never divided by the influence of time, and there's no limitation to your perfect knowledge. And in this verse, there's a very interesting, you can say, a pastime also which happened. So I'm taking you back to the Dwarka Leela, where the Lord is sitting in his royal palace, and Uddhava as a prime minister is sitting on the side, and two letters actually come to him. So one letter comes from all the kings who had been captured by Jarasandha, and Jarasandha was actually going to perform a sacrifice to Kal Bhairav, and he was going to sacrifice all these kings, 8,000 kings. So these kings had written to Lord Shri Krishna, and the letter said, my Supreme Lord, Jarasandha has captured us and he is going to offer us as a sacrifice. So please, please do come and save us, you know. So, and save us. And the Lord being the protector and so merciful, he thought, I must go to the palace of Jarasandha. I must fight him. I must get all these kings released. And then comes a second letter. The second letter says, is from Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is performing the Rajasuya Yajna. And he says, Lord Shri Krishna, we are doing the... He doesn't say Lord Shri Krishna because Lord Shri Krishna was younger to him. Krishna, we are doing the Rajasuya Yajna. You are required to be there. The moment you read this letter, just start for our royal palace, you know. So the Lord gets two letters. Like one is from Jarasandha's prisoner and the other one is Yudhishthira. And both of them says, come as soon as possible. Just be there, you know. And he's... Although he is a Supreme Personality, but in his Leela, he is kind of like showing as if he is kind of bewildered, like, what should I do? I am Patita Pavana, I'm most merciful to the fallen. I must save the kings who have been captured. At the same time, I'm very, very close to my family members, to Yudhishthira, who is like my younger brother. Shall I go to him? You know, what should I do? So, as the verse speaks about, like, it, as if he is kind of like bewildered, like, what should I do? And the Yadus are actually like the, you can say, the Kshatriyas. And the moment they hear the news that actually Jarasandha has captured the kings, all the Yadus kind of like get all fired up, like, oh, we are going to have a war, we're going to have a battle, we're going to fight with Jarasandha's army, we're going to release the kings, you know, like eager for war, like they're all kind of like really eager to fight and on like freedom and this and that. And the Lord is like, okay, what should I do? And all the Yadus are saying, let's go to Jarasandha, let's go and fight and release those kings. We wanna have the battle. We'll make sure freedom is spread everywhere and this and that. And then the Lord listens to all the Yadus and he actually asks Uddhava, you are my prime minister. You tell me what to do. Shall I go to the prison house of Jarasandha and release all the kings, or shall I go to the Rajasuya Yagya? And Uddhava, being the prime minister and the well-wisher of the Lord, says to him, my supreme personality, we must actually go to Rajasuya Yagya. We must tell King Yudhishthira that until and unless Jarasandha is still alive, we can't perform the Rajasuya Yagya. So we need to, you can say, you know, face Jarasandha, and then only the Rajasuya Yagya was performed. So you can even see, like, even though his knowledge, Lord is never, you can say, bewildered, but in this situation, he appeared as if he is bewildered, and he's asking the consultation, or you can say mantrana, or getting the thoughts of Uddhava, that what should I do? And by these examples, we can always learn that the Lord is showing an example that any responsible person must have certain personalities who he should consult before taking any big steps in his life. So even though it appears as if he is bewildered, but actually by this example, by this pastime, he is setting an example that anybody who is of a certain responsible position or certain position in society, he must actually always consult with senior personalities or knowledgeable personalities before taking any big steps in his life. So with this, it's 8:35 already. So with this, I'll finish my verse. But any questions or any... Yes, Prabhuji. Karan Prabhu.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for the class. At the end of the purport, Prabhupada mentions that therefore it is better to see them as they are and not attempt to explain them. So in relation to the Lord's activities. But then in the Bhagavad Gita is mentioned janma karma chame divyam, that one should understand the Lord's activities. So I was wondering if you could comment on that, because it seems like on one hand they're contradictory and inexplainable, on the other hand, if we understand them, then we'll go back to Godhead.
Yeah. So I think in this... There's two, you can say, there's two different classifications here. One is the normal set of people who take spirituality, like, you know, okay, spirituality is about this or this, that is that. But we, time and time again, in our, you can say, our tradition, we have learned we can never approach the Supreme Personality unless we have got the mercy from our guru, from our disciplic succession. So I think this particular line is revealing to the general masses who will try to, because for a lot of people, Supreme Personality is still a very big myth, you know, that what kind of Lord you are speaking about? He when he was born, he ran away, you know, he was born in a prison house, he ran away, he used to steal butter, you know. People will steal things and he will say, actually, oh, the Supreme Personality also performed. Lord Krishna was also a thief, so that's why I'm stealing. So people give these kind of examples. And for a lot of people, still, he's a very, very big mystery. So that's why I think Srila Prabhupada is kind of like saying to the general masses that don't try to, you can say, imitate or understand or set the same boundaries or principles or restrictions which apply to a normal person. My Guru Maharaj will always give an example that imagine you're driving on the road, yeah? And there's like a red light signal, traffic light signal. And somebody who is on the next car, a driver, He's like looking towards the sky. I'm saying, there is the red light signal. Why is the pilot still flying the plane, you know? Like, why is he not stopping? Because the traffic signals only apply to the vehicles which are on the road. They don't apply to somebody flying a plane, right? So we can say all these examples or all the different rules and regulations, they apply to us mortal beings, but they don't apply to the Supreme Personality. So if you try to say, oh, he was thieving, or he was, you know, he was dancing with ladies and this and that. If you try to actually just explain them and just draw a comparison, because he's a Supreme Personality, he ate fire, he you can say picked up the whole mountain of Govardhan in his small finger. Can we actually do the same thing? No. So Srila Prabhupada is actually trying to, you can say, he's saying to the general masses that don't try to explain them, or, you know, or kind of like have your own opinions about them, or you can say try to replicate them, or do, oh, actually this Lord performed, so I can also do. Don't do, you know, this kind of things. Instead, with a humble, submissive attitude, understand it from the authority. And when the authority, sincerely serving the authorities will give the blessings, and with that knowledge, you can actually start understanding what is the deeper meaning behind all these pastimes. So that answers your question, Prabhu. So one is for the general masses, but if you perform sincere bhakti with a devotional, submissive attitude, inquire submissively, then we, and also getting the blessings of the Vaishnavas, then the Lord will, you can say, make those arrangements where we can understand. We can never understand fully. Nobody can understand fully, but we can say just a tiny fraction, which is important for us, we can start understanding and you know, get the, you can say, the final result of our devotion. Yeah. Yes, Prabhuji? Anybody else? Okay. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, all glorious to the assembled devotees.